News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Bray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. This is Soundbites. It is Saturday, the 31st of May, the last day of May, Anno Domini 2003, and you're listening to the world's greatest computer show, Soundbites. We'll be taking your questions, we'll be talking about trivia, we'll talk about our poll, what's going on in the forums, what's going on in the universe. Stuff that just comes out of our head.
What's going on in our lives.
Whatever gallimaufry comes out of our mouths. And
stop pegging my meters.
Stop pegging your meters. I can't. I get so excited about this show. I get so delighted and thrilled to be here.
I mean,
rather than at the public market. What?
We get to come here, have fun, and we get paid for it.
Yeah.
There's nothing better.
There is nothing better. We could get paid more for it.
That's always true.
Yeah, that would be better.
We have to talk to our boss.
Right. Other than that, we're perfectly happy. And who are we? I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I am Jesse Graff.
And we'll, like I said, we'll be taking your calls and doing other stuff lately. But first, the news. The news. And we'll start with Dave. Go ahead, Dave. What's going on?
For the news?
The news.
Oh, okay. All right. This is an interesting story. It's like a double-edged sword. For all you folks, I mean, it's kind of upsides and downsides. And what I'm talking about is a university, I don't even think I'm going to mention the university, but they're going to start up a computer virus writing course. Yes, folks, you're actually going to get college credit to go and learn how to write computer viruses. And you sit there and say, well, why would they want to do that? Well, like I say, one, yeah, there's probably going to be a few still ill idiots out there that are going to try to take your machine down and everything else. But on the other side of the sword, it can also train folks to how to spot viruses and literally stop them before they take down a major network, say like the government. Because a lot of third world countries, literally these folks sit around and do nothing but to, because they have no life, turn around and try to find ways to get into your computer, cause havoc, and they don't get paid for it. That's what I still don't understand, that mindset, to create something that all it does is wreak havoc and derive no monetary benefit out of it other than, oh yeah, and they can't, it's not like they can sit there and say, yeah, George Smith created this virus on so-and-so and he took down such-and-such network. They're always, you know, big hacker.
Cracker alias.
Yeah, cracker
alias. Dark overload of the universe.
Yeah, and, you know, useless names, which other in that small clique, mean anything. Versus, I think it was 2 years ago. It was a 14-year-old kid that came up with a new search engine that AOL bought from this kid, and they paid him, it was like $8 or $10 million.
Yep.
To develop this engine. And they turned to the kid and said, what are you going to do next? He goes, well, I think I'm going to just take this summer off and skateboard with my friends. You're not going to. I mean, the kid just got $8 to $10 million, and he did it on a lark. I thought if I could make it quicker than that. They were so impressed with it, AOL bought that search engine.
Okay, so basically we hate them.
Well, you know, no, I mean, their talent.
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
But I mean, what I'm comparing.
Right, and he turned it to good.
He took it into good, whereas some of these other folks, if they actually took this knowledge, you know, hacking into things and turned it into something good, the money they could make.
Right, exactly.
Hello? What am I missing?
Well, you know, there are kids
the millions of dollars that I'm not earning. Yeah.
Exactly right, because you didn't write a search engine. Okay, Steve, the world of Apple.
The world of Apple.
I used to say the world of the Macintosh, but there are so many other things that Apple does.
Yeah.
Like,
smack him.
Wait a minute, why do I get in the middle?
Because you're in the middle.
You didn't get the look I got.
Yeah.
Even the show cam didn't get... thank you, because it would have broken the lens.
Yeah.
No, Apple does an amazing number of things. The iPod and all. You know, there's amazing things that they do.
Yep. And actually, this week, we had some interesting controversy. When they released iTunes 4 a few weeks ago, one of the features is that you could share your music with other computers in your network. It was built part of the Rendezvous an automatic network zero config thing where, you know, you opened your screen and, you know, poof, your iTunes from your main desktop just showed up on your laptop screen. Well, it turns out there was a little hole there. Not only could you share it with yourself, basically you could share it with anybody.
I think that's a hole the size of Grand Canyon.
Yeah, somebody, some adventurous soul found out that you could type in any IP address in iTunes 4 and see their music. Apple responded by closing that hole.
Yep.
In an iTunes update that came out this week. So version 4.01, they closed the hole to let any IP address in, and now it only shares on the same subnet. It was intended for you to share music in your own house. And they were afraid that too many people would start stealing music on the internet again, and then we'd have that whole mess on the Mac side as big.
Right.
So, but what the controversy is that a lot of people were saying that I'm at work on my work computer. I'll log into my iTunes at home and listen to my music while I'm at work.
Right.
It's still me logging into my computer. Yeah. I'm not stealing anything. It's my computer at home.
Right.
So there's the controversy brewing back and forth on the...
So 4.02 will have a VPN client.
Something like that.
A secure tunnel to your own machine.
You can turn on file sharing on your home computer and then log into it from anywhere on the internet and get to your music that way. Although that opens a little more security problems with public file sharing than just music sharing.
How's your sales still going for the selling the songs? Which I think is still a great idea. Paying a buck a song for the songs that you want. I mean, that is a great idea.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a great idea.
No, I'd like to see that catch on more and more.
They're up to 3 million songs. They're doing about 1 million songs a week. And
that's
sort of
bitch to the RIAA.
Yeah.
Well, and sort of in response to that, I think it was Rhapsody, came out with a new service where you can download songs for 79 cents each.
Right.
But you still have to pay your $10 a month subscription service.
Right.
You can't necessarily burn them onto a CD. Only some of them are burnable. And if you stop paying your subscription, the songs stop working.
Right. So, is this the group that's working with Microsoft?
Well, Microsoft...
That's a separate one.
That's a separate group. Microsoft thinks that the public is going to be ready to start renting their songs.
Yeah.
So for a dollar...
Like they rent their software.
Right.
I mean, so far they've been pretty successful renting software.
So for a dollar a song, you can play it three times, then it quits working, and you have to return it again. Like, that's going to go over.
Yeah. in a china shop.
That sort of brings up another issue. About, 6 months ago, we had a story about a company that developed an optical media, CD media, that would self-destruct.
Right.
Yeah. Well, now Disney has announced they're going to start releasing videos for rent on this DVD media.
Right.
So that once you open the box and expose it to air, it'll only run about a week, and then it clouds over and
it's
won't
like
play
Mission
anymore.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they think people are going to want to rent DVDs.
Yeah, but are rental companies going to want to buy them to rent out? Because a significant portion of their money...
It's a return and reuse.
With the return and reuse, and then the sale of used DVDs.
Right. And
who's going to rent this stuff out?
It's the same sort of thing with the DivX in the early days. I've got a DivX player, and it was neat that, you know, when a DVD cost you $50, you wouldn't mind renting them for $5. The way DivX worked is you rented the disc, you'd watch it as much as you wanted within 2 days, and then it stopped working.
Right.
And when discs were $50, it made sense to rent them at $5. But then when most of the major, you know, the big movies everyone wants to buy are $15,
right,
it doesn't make sense anymore.
Right. And most of the movies that I like to buy are in the $5 to $8 range.
Well, if you wait long enough, they come on TV, you can tape them there and add it to your library then.
Right.
Well, you don't want the commercial breaks and you don't want the editing.
HBO.
No,
on demand.
That's $10 a month.
No, there's...
But are you willing to pay $10 a month for all the movies you can rent?
But there's recorders now that will take out the commercials.
That's right.
That's another controversy.
Because God forbid we don't see the commercials. That's the whole point.
Yeah, one of the network executives said that it is, how did he word it? It's the public is required to watch the commercials in return for getting free television.
That's right.
That's the deal the public made.
Yeah, I watch them fast forward.
Yep. That's the deal we made when we allowed public commercial television to open.
Right.
By not paying for TV, we're required to watch the commercials.
We're required. So from now on, you cannot get up and, make a sandwich, shall we say, during the commercial. That would be a breach of contract.
So all of these VCRs and TVRs that now remove the commercials automatically.
Cool. Breach of contract.
Right. They're in a big legal lawsuit now.
That's okay.
Yep. I'll take Absolutely. It. And on the Microsoft front, Microsoft withdrew a security improvement for XP software, a patch, an update from the Microsoft update system, because it crippled internet connections for some of the 600,000 users.
But that made it very secure.
Who instead of very secure.
No one can get in, not even you.
Apparently it was incompatible with popular security software from other companies. Like any of them, Symantec, Norton, Zone Alarm, all those people. Their internet connections failed immediately. Microsoft says it's an unspecified number of more than 600,000 computers using Windows XP who downloaded and installed the update. Customers could reconnect only by removing the update. The problem is this update was supposed to improve reliability for types of secure internet connections commonly used by corporations, VPN and IP tunneling, and if those words mean anything to you. They are still investigating this glitch. It affects a fairly obscure security technology in Windows. A lot of people didn't bother to download it because they don't care about tunneling. The update should have allowed traveling executives, for example, to connect more securely and more reliably from a hotel room back to their corporate network. The problem really is that there's a billion permutations and combinations of hardware and software. But in this particular case, I believe that Symantec and Norton and all those other security products are fairly common and should have been tested against. One last thing very quickly before we head for the break, from our friends at Top 5, top5.com, the Top 5 Research and Reporting Laboratory. Researchers in Britain conducted an experiment in which they placed a computer in a room full of monkeys and waited to see what would happen. You know, the infinite number of monkeys create Shakespeare. All the monkeys did, though, was jump up and down on the keyboard and hurl feces at the monitor. The researchers say the experiment did successfully prove one thing. Everyone acts the same way to Windows. And we'll be back after these commercials with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Jesse Graff, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This is Rochester attorney Frank Sigelski. I'll take your questions and comments on all areas of the law and our legal system. It's Answers for the Injured, this Sunday night at 7 on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hey everybody, it's WHAM's health and fitness reporter Liz Bonus. If you need some help getting in shape for shorts and swimsuit season, do it now. Pick up a copy of our Lighten Up with Liz newsletter at these locations.
The Lighten Up with Liz newsletter, brought to you by Roberts Wesleyan College and Pinnacle Printers. Available at Unity Health Systems Women's Health Services at Park Ridge Hospital. At Agape Physical Therapy in the Webster Sports Arena, Publishers Parkway. At Fonte Healthcare Solutions, 1165 Portland Avenue. And at the Craft Antique Co-op, 3200 Ridge Road West in Greece.
It's exotic, yet somehow familiar. Its beauty will intrigue you. This is Australia's own Black Swan, the inspiration for Black Swan Shiraz. It's a bold yet remarkably smooth red wine that perfectly captures the character of Australia. Awaken your sense of adventure. Discover Black Swan. Imported by Black Swan USA, Healdsburg, California.
Attention, savvy shoppers! Savvy shoppers, please! If you like paying a fortune to look like everybody else, keep looking at those $30 ties. Now, for the rest of you treasure hunters, can we talk? Mom, Johnny's gonna be out of that outfit in a matter of weeks. Do you realize you're renting it for around 10 bucks a week? Get over to any of the 10 Salvation Army thrift stores! Excuse me, you, fashionable savvy shopper! Yes, you! If you're really into labels, you'll love the Salvation Army thrift stores. They actually mix in designer stuff with the regular clothes at the same low price. Hey, mister, are those jeans for work? Don't pay that exorbitant price. You can buy 5 pair for the same money at
I know. The Salvation Army thrift stores. Thanks for the tip.
I'll see the rest of you savvy shoppers at any one of the 10 area Salvation Army thrift stores in Rochester, Greece, Batavia, Irondequoit, and Bath.
At John Deere, we know what takes your breath away. No, it's not a two-hour tug of war with a tree stump. It's the umpteenth trip you and your wheelbarrow make to and from the mulch pile. Well, say sayonara to wasted weekends. Behold the John Deere Gator utility vehicle. With its heavy-duty cargo box made of 16-gauge steel, you can now load and haul more topsoil, more boulders, more paving bricks, even more pachysandras, all at an 18-mile-per-hour clip. Try that with Mr. Wheelbarrow. And for a limited time, you can get behind the wheel of a John Deere Gator and save up to $2,000. We'll even throw in financing offers. Saving time, saving money, saving your hamstrings. There's nothing like it, and nothing runs like a deer. Call 1-888-MO-PROS to find your nearest dealer.
Offer ends July 7, 2003. Financing offers subject to qualified credit on a revolving plan. For personal use only, see dealer for details.
I had a bad headache. I tried Advil Liquid Gels. They work faster than Tylenol.
I needed stronger medicine, and Advil Liquid Gels get that medicine to my headache faster.
I get better relief with Advil Liquid Gels.
Every day, more people are choosing Advil Liquid Gels to relieve tough headache pain. Advil has these advanced capsules with liquid medicine inside to rush relief where you need it. Proven faster, stronger, better than Tylenol.
Now, every time I get a tough headache, I choose Advil Liquid Gels.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
Full of color, full of fun. Ocello sponges get the job done.
Color and fun in one sponge. Better get more than one.
Soak up the savings with valuable Ocello coupons in Sunday's paper. Ocello's decorative, lively designs make your kitchen clean and colorful.
Once okay, more save the day.
Flip those coupons and stock up. Look for the Ocello display at your local Tops Friendly markets today.
Fun comes to the sponge.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show. It's brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. To America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. Did you miss us? We missed you.
Welcome back to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Jesse Graff.
I just wanted to say something that wouldn't peg Steve's meter, so to speak. And I mean that in the nicest way. You had something you wanted to say about species flinging monkeys.
Yeah, you know why they were flinging it? What OS was on there?
I didn't know you were about to tell us.
ME,
your fave.
Even monkeys don't like that OS. They know what's going on.
They did manage to produce about 5 pages of the letter S.
And we know what S stands for. Okay, before we get to the phones, this week's trivia. We have, as you know, we've instituted a new thing. We're doing trivia every week. The problem, of course, with trivia is that all you have to do is get on Google, and within about 4 minutes, you've got the answer.
There's
anybody out there who doesn't know that.
Well, some might not.
So we're trying to make it hard enough that you have to at least do a little bit of searching. If we're not actually getting your trivia brain working, we are improving your search skills. So this week, I believe the prize is, what is it, Jesse?
A pair of passes to see any movie at Regal Theater, including Regal Henrietta, Regal Eastview, or Culver Ridge.
That's any movie. Any movie at all. Hollywood, at your beck and call, simply for answering a simple trivia question. I don't know how you beat that. And this week's trivia question is, what was the name of Microsoft's terminal emulation program introduced in 1987? That would be, what was the name of Microsoft's terminal emulation program introduced in 1987? Going to the phones now, we're going to speak to Glenn from East Rochester. Welcome, Glenn. What's your question?
So the way I think of this is it doesn't pay to be the first caller to get in because you don't have time to search the web.
Well, that's right. You have to actually know something.
Exactly know the answer.
Our first few callers are those confident enough in themselves and in their innate ability to know trivia to just simply answer the question.
Yeah, right. Okay, on to my problem. I've got a...
Man, I can't pull the wool over anybody anymore. Go ahead, Glenn.
I've got an installation of Windows XP Pro.
Okay.
Boots up fine.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling, then.
Gives me the option of the two profiles that I've got installed on the machine.
Right.
When I click on any of the profiles, it brings up my wallpaper, and that's it. I can sit here until Thursday, and I will see nothing more than the red dust lunar thing here that's on my screen.
All right, call us back next Thursday, and we'll have an answer.
Any thoughts as to what's hanging? And I will tell you, I'll add some additional information. This is the second time this has happened to this installation of Windows. brute force. The last time it happened, I reinstalled safely, so my data was still there, but everything was screwed up. So I backed up my data, which is what I asked you guys about, I think, 2 weeks ago, how to do that safely. Yeah. I got that done, and that worked. So you guys are, one for one so far on this project.
Okay.
And I reinstalled everything, and it's been working fine. Except that, over the last couple of days, I got a message saying that something had failed in the registry, and it had to restore from another copy or something like that, and that the restore was successful. Bothered me a little bit, but I kept saying, okay, the restore was successful. This is Microsoft. I trust them.
There's your first mistake.
Yeah. So anyway, this morning I'm playing a game and the computer crashes. Okay, I restart the computer and here I am back to this problem again.
In either profile.
Either profile, and it gets even worse. Even if I go in safe mode, I get the same thing.
Oh, I was about to say, does it happen in safe mode?
Have you tried doing a restore to the last known good boot up?
How do I get there?
When you when the machine's booting up, you press the hold down the control key or press F8.
Yeah.
You'll get the menu selection.
Oh, right.
And you get, one of the options is to last known good boot up.
Well, see, the problem is though it is booting up.
But no, there's something wrong in the registry because it's not booting up because it's not getting on in.
Something's gotten squirreled.
So it'll go back to the last good copy of the registry.
How long have you waited for this boot up?
What, sat and looked at that lunar thing? I went out and watched a 45-minute television program not too long ago.
Okay. That would have been long enough, I think.
Yeah, I would say if it takes longer than that. Yep. All right, so you're saying last known good configuration.
Yeah, I tried the first last known good boot up. Otherwise, you're looking at doing a reinstall of
exactly
XP.
What I did last
there
time.
Is, yeah. Well, there is a repair install that might work that won't.
And you can't even get into safe.
Is this a laptop or a desktop?
It's a desktop.
If you boot the Windows CD, skip the first repair option and then use the second one that you get to.
Which is what I did last time, and it kind of reinstalled over top everything, but left my data alone.
Right, leaves the data alone, should leave the application alone.
I was trying after having struggled all week to get this thing exactly the way I wanted it, to avoid doing that, but unfortunately I may not be able to.
Right,
the answer to your question. Just
how long are the names of the profiles?
The profiles? Glenn and Linda. What's that tell you?
Not much. You might also try going into your BIOS and turning off all power management.
Okay.
Because Windows loads its own power management. And it may be fighting with the power management in the BIOS.
Any idea what would cause that to happen in, midstream?
It should.
No, it shouldn't, but that doesn't mean it doesn't. That's actually a known problem, particularly if you have the 440MX chipset.
Okay. By the way, the last known good didn't work.
Yeah, and you're looking to do a reinstall over.
Try that.
I'll try the power management thing, Nick.
And let me know.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Thanks. Sometimes it becomes detective work. Mm-hmm. And you just have to go and play. And now, shockingly, our second caller, unbelievably, our second caller.
Let me guess. Henrietta?
Bruce. Welcome, Bruce. What's your question?
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
You got in second this time.
Well, I waited for a few minutes of your program to begin before I started calling.
There you go.
I was wondering, why is everyone so worried about a hole in the Mac world? Because it's only 3% of the market. That can't be much of a problem. But
yeah.
Anyway.
The RIAA doesn't want to lose one nickel. God forbid they lose any money at all, these poor people.
And I think it was Money Magazine posted an article that, since most people are going to download more than one song, 3 million songs, that means there's only like 100 people using the service. That's no big deal. What can we do for you, Bruce?
Anyway, I was wondering if there's such a device that would be a modem to hook up to my cell phone as opposed to a dial-up landline.
It depends on your phone. Some phones have a serial adapter that plugs into your serial port, and then you use the modem in your computer and the phone as a phone line. Some cell phones act as a cellular modem, so that you tell your software, this is the cellular modem. Some phones that are getting actually very rare that I've seen lately have a little POTS jack on them, and you plug your phone line into it. What's getting to me?
POTS stands for plain old telephone service.
Plain old telephone service.
It's the basic jack that you plug into the wall.
Whatever it is, J11.
And it depends
J11.
It depends on what cell phone you have and what options it offers. If it was one of the free phones you get when you sign up for a service, it probably doesn't have that type of option.
Right.
What the latest trick is now is that cell phones are coming with Bluetooth in it. And Bluetooth is the short-range wireless transmission service, so that with a Bluetooth-enabled computer, it will see your Bluetooth phone and use it as a modem and be able to dial through the phone into the Internet service. So it all depends on what phone you have.
Well, thanks for all that great information, guys.
Thank you, Bruce.
Have a good one. Okay, bye.
And you know, I'll tell you, I don't trust Bluetooth. We'll get to that after the break. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Jesse Graff, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Bob Lonsberry, weekdays 11 till 2.
And I suspect about this time most days you take a nap.
On News Radio 1180 WHAM. When Governor Pataki spoke about the budget cuts facing New York State, he did so on WHAM.
The governor's here with us now.
There will be significant vetoes. There's no question about that.
It's only one station the newsmakers turn to.
I've never seen anything like it. When I put together a budget and required people to pull in their belts, but it would have put the financial crisis largely behind us.
There's only one station you should turn to for your news.
You have a lot of listeners, and if they let their legislators know, they're not going to forget about this when their tax bills go up.
Rochester's only news radio. 1180 WHAM.
For all your computer needs, call Green Shield Computer Services toll-free at 1-800-544-9580. Located in Rochester at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just south of Route 104. Green Shield is a full-service computer firm that's been helping individuals and businesses since 1984. They'll build, install, maintain, and network both your home and work computers. Green Shield is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 till 4. So, yeah, call them right now. That's right now at 1-800-544-9580. Green Shield can also provide your website development, hosting, email, and domain name registration. And Green Shield is an approved Corral Business Education Government and Legal Partner. Call them right now, toll free at 1-800-544-9580. That's 1-800-544-9580. Or you can send them an email to computers@greenshield.net. Remember the name, Green Shield Computer Services, part of the Green Shield Group, established in 1967.
Presents the 2003 Hess Miniature Patrol Car, the first Hess miniature replica with a real rev-up motor for even more action. It's bold, it's bright, and it's cruising your way.
Get ready, get pumped up, stop at the green.
The 2003 Miniature Hess Patrol Car, another gleaming classic from Hess. A line-for-line replica of the 1993 Hess Patrol Car, with head and tail lights and a real rev-up motor built for action.
Get ready, get pumped up, stop at the green.
The 2003 Miniature Patrol Car. Moving out fast for only $5.99. Energizer battery and display stand included. And here's another amazing Hess deal. Our Pepsi 12-pack blowout. Get two Pepsi 12-packs, no limit, for only $5. Through June 30th at participating Hess locations.
Get pumped up.
Only at
Hess.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
My name is Vicky Parente. I live in San Diego, California. My fiancé and I are getting married. We didn't realize the Men's Warehouse had tuxedo rental. We went not really knowing what we wanted, but were helped by Colleen and Melissa. They were so helpful, let us try everything, were so patient, answered all of our questions. I'm just so pleased with the service. I told them I wish I had had that kind of service when I went to go buy my wedding dress. They were so unhelpful when I went to go buy my wedding dress at one of those, you know, swanky boutiques. And these people were just so kind and patient and helpful. And you have more for life.
Don't worry, Vicky. The one thing we're not is swanky. You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it. I'm George Zimmer, founder and CEO of Men's Warehouse.
To speak directly to someone in the store nearest you about renting or buying a tuxedo, call 1-800-776-SUIT.
This portion of Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet service, call 262-2485.
Watts. Huh. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Where? Oh, yeah, I'm right here. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Jesse Graff.
And this is Sound Bites.
Not just Jesse Graff. Jesse Graff.
Jesse Graff.
What'd he sit on?
Nick Francesco. Dave Enright. And Steve Ray. We all have to use our radio voices.
Oh, man. I'd like to apologize.
Somebody wound his rubber band too tight.
Years ago. before the break, we were talking a little bit about Bluetooth, and I have to tell you, Bluetooth kind of scares me a little bit. The whole point behind Bluetooth is that it automatically discovers other Bluetooth devices in the neighborhood, and what they're talking about using it for is, for example, you have a Bluetooth-enabled phone, right?
Right.
You walk by a store, your phone rings. It's an ad for the store.
They can do that now with cell phones, but they're afraid.
And they should be.
Because the cell phone knows where you are. It's better than the GPS.
Right.
The cell phone has to know where you are so it can ring when someone rings you.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And they can do that, but not in real time, not fast enough.
Right.
I mean, they'd have to coordinate with the phone company.
Right.
And they're not doing that. But with Bluetooth, you just set it up in your window. Any Bluetooth device that goes by... What kind of device are you? I'm a phone. Ring. Thanks for calling.
It'd be nice if they would add that as a service that, you know, I'm standing on the street, you know, I feel like a pizza. Where's the nearest pizza?
You look like a pizza.
Thank you.
Fit, sure.
So, you know, you type in, you know.
The anchovies that gave them away.
Yeah, where's the best
like
place?
A pizza. Where's
the nearest place to buy this? Where's the nearest place to buy that? Because
right.
It knows where you are. And
that
it's
would
easy
be a service, and I would go for that.
Yeah. As long as you can turn it off when you don't want it.
Well, that's what I'm... But you call them. I mean, if it's a pull technology, then I can go for it. But when it's a push technology, when it calls me and says, looking for pizza, you're 36 feet away from the nearest blah, blah, blah. I don't go for that at all.
Well, actually, Bluetooth only has a 2-meter range, so...
I set it up in the corner, and I know I'm 36 feet away.
Yeah. The other thing folks might want to be aware of that I've run into is if folks use the Music Match jukebox...
Yeah.
They just did an update to version 8.0.
Yeah.
Stay with 7.5 right now, folks. Even including myself, if you're running XP, try to do the upgrade, and it just locks. So I think they're going to be coming out with 8.1 in that instance. So you might want to hold off right now,
And speaking of music and following you around and all that stuff, Kazaa is about to become the most downloaded piece of software in history. For those of you who've downloaded it, you should be aware it is spyware. It is almost nothing but spyware. It installs more spyware on your system than it does product.
And half the things you try to think you're downloading are more Trojans and spyware.
Exactly.
Yeah, the new Britney Spears song isn't going to be 15K.
Yeah. You think?
The other thing we got to put a word out is supposedly Lollygag, who's on our forums, is trying to listen this week. So, Lolly, since you're moving away from the area, definitely give us a call. We'd love to hear from you before you move out of the New York
State
area.
Of course, if you do move out of the New York State area, you can call us at 800-295-1180 and speak to us toll-free.
That'll work.
We'll want to hear about where you are as well as
and
where
what's
you've
going
been.
On. It'd be great if she could get through and talk, because so many folks hear us talk about her, and she's one of the big posters on the board.
Yes, she is.
Be great to hear from her.
Yes, she is. For those of you who haven't been to the forums, you really should.
Why
we'll
not?
Talk about those in the exactly. We'll talk about those in the next segment. But first, we're going to go to Paul from Holly. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Yeah. Hi, Nick. I'm trying to network a couple of computers together at home.
Yeah?
I had them networked, and they were working fine, and then something happened, and I haven't been able to get it configured here.
What changed?
Pardon me?
What changed?
Nothing that I'm aware of, I mean, other than adding software now and then, but no hardware types of things.
What software did you add?
Oh, good grief. Music Match.
Bingo.
That might be an issue. One thing you want to check is go into your device manager and make sure that your network devices are still recognized and don't have any errors on them. I've actually had a couple of machines this week where the TCP unbound itself from the network card for some reason.
I've pretty much done that. In fact, I'm looking at that right now, and everything is, I don't have any question marks or exclamation marks. And the thing is that it's intermittent. Sometimes I'll start both machines up and they'll work fine, and then the next time I start, I boot the machines up and like one.
Can they both get to the internet?
Yeah.
What?
It's the browser master bug.
Yep. Go ahead.
Yep.
What OSs are you running?
I'm running the desktop is a Bright computer.
No, operating system Windows.
Oh, the software. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. The desktop is Windows 98 SE, and the laptop is just Windows 98.
One of the problems with peer networking is what you have, since you don't have a server.
Using NetBUI.
The first computer that turns on becomes the master browser and publishes the network.
Okay.
And then the second computer that turns on sees, is there already a master browser? Okay, I'll use it.
Okay.
So there's a lot of timing problems involved in getting master browsers to work or not.
Okay.
You can go into the file sharing properties in your network control panel.
Yeah.
And it should be set to automatic. Set one of them to master, one of them to off.
And then turn the master on first.
Yeah, I've done that.
Okay, in that case, hold on the line. It's going to be a long hold. Who's got news? We'll be back in just a little bit with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Jesse Graff, Paul from Holly, all of you, Sound Bites. 1180 WHAM.
Rush Limbaugh.
So I'm not complaining. I'm not whining.
Weekdays, 2 till 5.
Telling you how it is.
On News Radio 1180 WHAM. Leader, 50,000 watt 1180 WHAM Rochester, a clear channel radio station. Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Jesse Graff.
And I believe we're still talking to Paul from Holly. Paul from Holly, are you still there?
I'm still here, Nick.
Okay, too bad. Couldn't you just cut him off, Jesse, during the break?
Well, anyway, I do have the browser.
Hello?
Master, I have enabled on machine number one, and I have it disabled on machine number two.
And if you boot machine number one first, you still don't see them?
Right.
Still don't see each other?
Right.
Have you by any chance changed the group name on one of the machines?
No. Nope.
Do you have a comment in the comment field?
Where is that, Nick?
In the IP setup, where you right underneath
under
where you
setting
put the
up
group
the network.
Name.
Yeah.
Network identity.
Under network identity, yeah.
Okay. Identification you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Computer.
They have to have the same work group name.
And do you have NetBuoy on there? Because
no.
You might want to try using NetBuoy.
Yeah, I've tried that, and doesn't seem to make any difference.
Well, if you put NetBuoy on both systems, I mean, that's the surest way to, especially on a 98 machine and a 98 SE machine.
Mm-hmm.
I always found, you know, just for small home networks, NetBuoy worked the easiest.
So but I still have TCP/IP.
Yeah, you can still have
that. Yeah, that's fine. You can have them both.
Okay, so install. I've tried this, and it hasn't seemed to have.
All right, the one thing you might want to try to do, and this has been a known problem with SE once in a blue moon.
Okay.
Is to go into where you identify in the work group name.
Okay.
Say it's defaulted to work group.
Yeah.
Change it by, take the K off of, say, work group.
Okay.
Or the P, rather. And shut the machine down, reboot it back up. Change it back and add the P.
Okay.
Reboot it and see if it goes. Sometimes it gets confused on work group names.
Okay.
By changing it, it kind of forces it to change, and then changing it back will kick it back.
Also, make sure the computer names don't have a space in them.
Okay, yeah, they don't.
And make sure they're short.
Yeah.
Try those things and let us know.
Do I change that work group, the P in both computers?
Absolutely, they must match.
Well, no, you can just change mainly the SE machine. That's the one that used to have problems.
If you're going to change it back, before you test it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and take out any description. But on the SE machine, take the P off or work group, take any description out, shut it down, reboot it back up, put the P back in, shut it down, and reboot again, and see if it reconnects.
Okay, and I shouldn't have a description in either one of them.
No.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
All right.
There you go.
We'll give it a try. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Good luck.
We'll take one more caller here, Joe from Rochester. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Wait a minute. We got to ask him if he wants to take a shot at the trivia.
Shot at the trivia. Joe, you taking a shot at the trivia?
No, thanks, guys.
The trivia question is, what was the name of Microsoft's terminal emulator program introduced in 1987? Okay, you don't want to take a shot? You don't want to take a shot?
I have no idea.
Okay.
What's your question?
No, that wasn't it, actually.
What's your question?
Well, here's what I got. I got Windows XP Home Edition, and I'm running Microsoft Outlook 2000. And every time I open up Windows Outlook, it closes immediately. And I just recently upgraded to XP on a clean upgrade, bought a new hard drive and then upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot get Outlook to stay open.
All right.
Which version of Outlook?
It's 2000 with Service Pack 3. And I have 256 RAM memory.
Now, you're talking Outlook 2000 or Outlook Express?
Outlook 2000.
Okay. Have you tried uninstalling and reinstalling?
No, I've been trying to avoid that.
Well, here's the nice feature about that.
Mm.
Is when you go to uninstall,
okay,
it'll ask you, hey, would you like to try to repair this?
Ah.
And you can, even though you go into the add remove and click remove,
okay,
it'll first come up, and one of the features is to try repairing it. It will grab the files and say, do you want to just reinstall it all over again? You can say yes and see if that corrects the issue.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
Sounds great.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we do, in fact, seem to have somebody who wants to take a shot at the trivia. Jim from Batavia.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. The answer to the trivia is Hyper Terminal?
Nope.
It's not? Okay.
Nope. Nice try, though.
Thank you. You got a question for us?
Nope. That was it. He's gone. That was it. The question, of course, is, what was the name of Microsoft's terminal emulator program introduced in 1987? It is not Hyper Terminal. That was a product they bought from somebody else in the early 90s. But back in 87, they had their own homegrown terminal emulator
program.
Back in
the old days.
Exactly right, and I can't believe we haven't got anybody who's going for it.
Well, it's another one of those searches where terminal emulator turns up so many things.
See, I'm trying to look for those kind of trivia questions because I don't want it to be easy.
Well, like last week, your RIT student was able to quick look it up on the internet.
He's not a student. He's actually our network spider. He's the guy who sits at the center of our network and makes everything
happen.
Okay. But we still have we've got those coveted tickets to any Regal Theater, all of Hollywood, at your feet for just answering a simple trivia question. Before we go back to the phones, however, we want to talk a little bit about what goes on our website. This is Soundbites, and our website is soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like me to remind you. Every week we have a poll. Last week's poll was, what do you use for your desktop background? We'd like to thank Moody Blues 100, a truly phenomenal artist and audio engineer, for that particular question. It came up at number 359 votes, which puts it at number 10 on the all-time hit list. And the winner of what you use for your desktop background was something that came with my OS, followed by something I downloaded, followed by a personal photograph, followed by I made my own. So
There's actually a neat feature in System 10 when you subscribe to Apple's .Mac account.
Yeah.
You can create your photo album from your digital pictures and make that your screensaver.
Yeah.
You can also publish it to .Mac so other people can make it their screensaver.
Cool.
So all the pictures of the grandkids, you can pass around your whole family.
Cool. Except we were talking about desktop backgrounds. On the other hand...
same thing. The desktop background, you can put a rotating picture as your background.
You know what's way cool under Linux? You can make any screensaver your background. So you can have an animated background if you want to. Dave's trying to find a screensaver for his phone now. Fine, we're doing a radio show. Dave's on the phone. Nice. This week's poll is also from Moody Blues 100. What do you think of the new audio clips page in the Soundbites website? For those of you who have not explored the Soundbites website, you're missing a good 60% of what goes on in this show. We have a number of things. We've got people who keep helping us create new logos. The current one is bobblehead dolls. But I don't want to know what they're doing over there with the phone.
I've got Space Invaders on my phone.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
I just have a simple phone book and I'm looking up a number.
At least it's clean. We also have movie posters.
It is a Virgin phone.
We have movie posters that were created by our various users. We have what Moody Blues is talking about is the secretly recorded calls. Moody has his very own page on Soundbites. Nobody else, aside from us, of course, does. And he's created...
They're way cool.
He and MarsGuy33 actually have created a whole bunch of great sound clips, and you should go to our website and see them. And, of course, choice in the poll. Make a choice in the poll. And once you've done that, go over to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. And leave an opinion. So far, we have, about 11 opinions? Okay. It seems like I don't even know what I hit there. And we have 11 opinions.
Somewhere.
So far. Last week, we had a lot of opinions. Some of them were interesting, and, some were not. But there are a couple of other nifty features on the website that you should check out. Every single week, our very own lovely and talented Dave Enright puts up a brand new tip for all of you computer users. So if you go to our website, you'll see Dave Tips. And this week's is about how to convert a FAT32 hard drive to NTFS without losing all the data on the drive.
That's
and he puts
simple.
Up a new one every week or so. And you should go read each and every one of those. All of them. Read them all. And we've instituted another new thing, which
is
virus
tracking. Really
cool.
This is
actually
that.
Very cool. It's a virus tracking page where you can track what viruses are where. So far in North America, the number one virus is the Lovegate virus. Lovegate G with 14,500 infections.
I still disagree with it. I'm still seeing a lot of CLES.
It's number three on the list.
Yeah, but I still think it should have been number two or one. I had one client just yesterday.
It's number two in Asia.
2,024 files on one machine infected with the CLES.
Yeah, but see, they're talking about the number of machines, not the number of files.
But you can still, if it's getting on that one machine and doing that.
I had a client whose antivirus expired 5 years ago. But he only had 7 CLESes.
Wow.
Well, that was just with Stinger.
I
haven't done a full scan for all viruses yet.
Yeah.
Well, once if it's got CLES, usually it goes along with it is L-Kern.
Yep.
You'll find at least...
I also want to talk about something else. Interestingly, this I have my own website. I just mentioned it, asknick.com. And I publish a little newsletter, an e-newsletter, every week. If you're there's a free section, you get it once a week, and there's a paid section, you get it three times a week, plus you get forums and all the other cool stuff on the site. But this week, for the paid people, I put out a... somebody asked me about... they wanted to try Linux, but they didn't know... but they didn't want to wipe out their machine. They only have one machine. They didn't want to put in a second hard drive. They didn't want to dual boot. What were the options? Where could I go? Basically, she asked, where could I go to see Linux? I talked about Lugor, the Linux Users Group of Rochester. I talked about, you know, that's here. She may not be in Rochester, and so, because I have people from all over the world in the mailing list. So it could be, you know, she could be anywhere. I said, look for your local user group. But then I talked about Knoppix, Knoppix, and we'll want to put that on the website, at knoppix.org. Yes, the K is not silent. It's pronounced Knoppix. And it's a version of Linux. It's a full-blown Linux system. You download an ISO, which is a CD image. Using your burning software, you burn it to a CD, and then you reboot with this CD. And you're running Linux off the CD. It never touches your hard drive, although you can see your hard drive. You can read files from your hard drive. You just can't write them back. It's write-only. It's a read-only hard drive. Connection.
Cool.
So you can use this software, play with it, test it. It's got a web browser. It's got two full Office suites. So you've got word processing and spreadsheet and database and everything else. It's got email. It's everything. It's got games. It's got you name it. It's all there. All on this CD. Now, it's a little slow to load because it's compressed about 2 gigabytes worth of stuff on the CD. But once it's running on the system, it's pretty fast. You get to play with Linux. You get to see how it works for you. One of the very coolest features is if you have one of those USB drives, those little
flash drives,
flash card things,
yep.
You can use it. No, Steve, not that kind of flash. You can use it. I'm so sorry for everybody who may have gotten that on the webcam. We'll see if... no, it didn't. Okay, good. You can use that to store data. So that becomes your personal drive. Mm-hmm. And you just plug it in the back. It recognizes it, and you can save files. It is so cool.
Those Knoppix flash drives are getting...
but what's interesting about that is that generated more mail for me than any other... and I've put out... thousands of these email newsletters, and this has generated more mail than any of them.
Cool.
It's fascinating how many people have been interested in that.
And want to try it.
Yeah. But you can also, that's my website, asknick.com. I really shouldn't be talking about that here. We're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Jesse Graff, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Listen to the Wham Morning News for the Good Samaritan Vehicle, a service of Monroe Muffler Break-In Service and News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Hollywood's best releases are at the Regal Cinemas, now offering the Crown Club Loyalty Program. Free membership, fast registration, earn free movies and concession items every time just for seeing your favorite movie. Gift certificates also available. They never expire and can be used for box office or concession purchases at over 400 Regal Cinemas nationwide. Stadium seating, amazing digital sound, senior specials, super Saver discount tickets. Catch all the new releases at the Regal Cinema at Eastview Marketplace or Culver Ridge. See you at the movies. How do you travel the road? In a clumsy motorhome the size of a barge? Hey, they're great for the trip, but terrible on gas and for getting around once you reach your destination. Maybe the family car or minivan. Then you're cramped for space and you've got all those bathroom stops. No, the best way to hit the road is in a Class B motorhome, combining the versatility and freedom of driving a van with all the comforts of home. Perfect for visiting the kids, cruising down south, or a quick weekend getaway. And you save money on hotels, restaurants, and gas. If that sounds good to you, then you should head out to the anniversary open house at Finger Lakes RV June 5th through the 8th and view their luxurious Class B motorhomes, master suites, kitchenettes, private baths, and more at a size you can manage on any street and at prices that don't require a second mortgage. Come out to Finger Lakes RV and tour their exclusive models and sample the many designs and floor plans. The anniversary open house at Finger Lakes RV, the corner of Routes 5 and 20 and 247 in Canandaigua, June 5th through 8th. For details and directions, call 585-924-0570.
It's exotic, yet somehow familiar. Its beauty will intrigue you. This is Australia's own Black Swan, the inspiration for Black Swan Shiraz. It's a bold yet remarkably smooth red wine that perfectly captures the character of Australia. Awaken your sense of adventure. Discover Black Swan. Imported by Black Swan USA, Healdsburg, California.
The Epson CX5200 All-in-One with exclusive DuraBright inks gives you photos that resist sunlight.
Your beauty will never fade away.
Photos that resist water.
It always shines on a rainy day.
Photos that resist smudging.
Even if you were covered in muck, you look pretty as my truck.
Well, at around $179, it's a pretty great deal. For more, visit Epson.com.
For 33 years, Wilson Farms and Sugar Creek have been your Priced Right neighborhood food stores. Stop in today and sign up to win a trip for four to Disney World for 7 days. Compliments of Southwest Airlines and MickeyRadio.com. Southwest Airlines offering nationwide destinations from Buffalo, including Orlando, Baltimore, Washington, Las Vegas, and more. Southwest Airlines, the low fare leader.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Jesse Graff.
And this is Soundbites. I wonder if that Verizon Wireless number, *1180, works anywhere in the nation.
Or anywhere that Verizon is.
That's what I'm saying. Is that like a national number? When Lolly moves, if she has Verizon, or she has, she'll know somebody with Verizon, somebody somewhere has Verizon, she should try it.
Or try the 800 number.
She should call us an 800 number, but somebody should try that Verizon number, see if it actually gets through in some other country. We have people calling from Canada. They should try it.
Yeah.
Call the number,
maybe
see what happens. We're going to go back to the phones now for a moment here, and we're going to talk to Ed from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Ed. What's your question? Ed, you there?
I am here.
What's your question?
Hi, guys. This is a problem I've been dealing with for a year and a half or more.
Holy cow. Been tough getting through, has it?
Do you want to take a shot at the trivia first?
Patient. Oh, the trivia. Yeah. Probably something creative like Build Terminal Emulator.
No, very, very
good try.
Good try, but it's not it. The trivia question, of course, is what was the name of Microsoft's terminal emulator program introduced in 1987? Okay, go ahead, Ed. What's your question?
All right, here we go. I bought a new box with Windows XP Pro installed, had MSN service, dial-up service, and I was constantly needing to reboot every time it went into standby mode or powered down. And that went on for a year, and no one could solve that problem for me. I have dozens of help desk tickets.
Is this a laptop?
No, it's a desktop.
Yeah, okay.
And I recently switched off, thinking this would, one of the benefits of switching to Roadrunner would be this problem would go away.
Right.
I did that a couple months ago, and I have to reboot daily.
Do you have it when you go into the control panel under energy saving?
Yep.
Is that all set to never?
Yes. That was one of my attempts to.
Right. One of the other
things. And in the BIOS?
Ooh.
Ooh, see,
in the BIOS, if you've turned it off in one place but leave it, you know, going in the other, the BIOS will quite often spin down the hard drive, and it puts the machines into a very nasty sleep that a lot of OSs and machines, oh, it's a combination of the OS and the hardware, they just never wake up.
Yeah, not quite asleep.
You get
really
there and pound on the keyboard, and you just can't get it to wake up.
Just because the BIOS will let you put it into a sleep or standby mode doesn't mean that all the hardware in the system understands sleep or standby mode.
Okay, explain this a little better to you. I mean, I am. It powers up and I can work, but when I go to, go to a website or try to mail something, that's when I find out that I've lost my connection.
Okay.
And that's so, I mean, it's not like I can't get the power back up.
Oh, okay. But not all the pieces power back up. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
The network card wake on LAN option.
Right. What you need to do several things. First, you need to go into the BIOS and turn off all of that stuff. Then you need to go into, and while you're in the BIOS, see if there is a wake on LAN feature. Turn that off.
That could be causing problems.
Yes.
Wake on LAN?
Wake on LAN.
What that means is the machine will shut down until it gets a special signal over the Internet.
And sometimes it don't always wake up, depending on the other hardware that you have on your machine.
Right, particularly if your network card doesn't understand wake on LAN, but the BIOS thinks it does, now you've got a big problem. So turn that off. Then go into the driver for your network card after you reboot and see if that has a wake on LAN. Turn it off there. Because just because they both have them doesn't mean they're compatible.
Okay.
So try all of that and see what happens. Are you still using MSN or are you directly to Roadrunner?
No, it's directly to Roadrunner.
Okay. Try those things and let us know.
I will.
I don't have anything better to ask you to try right at the moment.
What kind of Ethernet card do you have? Do you know offhand?
I don't offhand, no, and I'm not.
Some of the really cheap 8-bit Ethernet cards don't work very well.
Well, I shouldn't say, if I can mention brands. I mean, it was a Dell 8200.
And it came with the Ethernet card in it?
Yeah, and it's only a year and a half old.
Mm, yeah, then that's not the problem. Try the things we told you and let us
know. Okay,
guys. Okie doke.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. We're still looking for somebody to answer the elusive trivia question. What was the name of Microsoft's terminal emulation program introduced in 1987? We're going to go to Dave now from Canandaigua. Dave, do you have an answer for the trivia?
About terminal.exe.
No, good try, though.
Oh, okay.
That would follow their pattern. That's what I guessed.
Yeah, that was okay. Caesar's guess. Was it terminal? You know, we have Word.
Yeah.
And stuff, but no, it isn't. It actually had a different name. So if you can tell us that name, you win the coveted ownership of Hollywood in the form of two tickets.
Well, I do know what ME stands for now, though.
Yeah.
Many years.
Monkey excrement.
We should give him a pair of tickets just for that.
We should. We probably can't, though, but I wish we could.
I called last week. I've been playing around with a network connection between an XP box and a Linux box.
Yeah?
And I got the machines to ping each other, and that's about where my knowledge sort of falls apart, and the books are kind of lame on where to go from here.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that what I probably need to do is I set up my Samba server next.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Here's the deal. You can actually put the two systems on the network, and they'll ping each other, but that just means both systems are actually working on the Internet. I mean, you can
right.
ping any machine on the Internet. What you need to do is you need to be able to have the two machines talk to each other.
To a common language.
Microsoft
right.
uses SMB, the System Message Block
okay.
format.
Mm-hmm.
Linux created a clone of that they call Samba. They just put A's into the SMB name.
Okay.
And so they created something called Samba. What you do is you download and install Samba.
Right.
Follow the... You'll want to read the directions at least twice.
I'm already on about three, but
yeah.
Okay.
And make sure you set it up so that it's the same. You're using the same workgroup name and all that other yada yada that we've been talking about.
Okay.
Once you set them up, you start the Samba server.
Right.
And then the two machines should be able to talk to each other. I personally have two machines at home: a Windows box and a Linux box, and they both point to the same third box that contains all my documents. So that both I can open and I can read and write documents from both machines, and the third machine has a tape backup, so I can back up all the documents.
Yeah, and you go by your house and it glows.
It glows in the dark, and actually it does. I got my wife's laptop has one of those little lamps, those little lights that you can plug into the USB. She thinks it's the hottest thing she's ever seen. She loves it. Whatever, you know, $15 to make her happy.
I got a fan like that. Plugs into the USB. It's a little tiny fan.
Yeah, very neat. Yeah. But that's your next step is installing and getting Samba to work.
Yeah, I've installed Samba, and I gave it the same workgroup name that I've been using in Windows because I had other peers on the
right
on the
right,
Windows.
Right. That should work.
And so when I take and as far as I'm pretty sure I got the Samba server actually running.
You might want to double check that.
Okay.
What you want to do is try restarting it.
Okay.
You know, you go. What version of Linux are you using?
Red Hat 9.
As root.
Yeah.
Under etc, etc.
Yeah.
Or etc, as we call it. Under init.d, you should see SMB. Should see Samba. I think that's the way that Windows sets it up. If not, there's two things. There's an SMB and an NMB.
Right, right.
Both of those need to be started.
Okay.
They're both daemons, so it's SMBD and NMBD.
Okay. Everyone's the client.
Right, yep.
Okay, so now when I get this running, it's basically my Linux box is the server, and my Windows is the client.
No,
or is it more like a
peer-to-peer? Well, it depends on how you set it up.
Yeah.
In Samba, you really want to set it up peer-to-peer, then both of them can talk to each other with no problem.
Okay.
Okie doke.
I'll give it a whirl. Thanks.
I love to watch somebody playing with that stuff. Thanks. We're going to go next to Sal from Fairport, who seems to have to want to take a shot at the trivia. Sal!
Hey, how are you guys?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. I'm just guessing Irma.
Oh, that's a great guess.
I remember Irma.
Yeah. I remember Irma. My friend Irma. that's a great guess. It's wrong.
Okay.
It's a great guess.
What did Irma stand for?
That.
For next week.
Week.
That would be good.
Oh, that would have been good. All right.
Sorry.
Well, thanks for taking a shot at it.
Okay. Thanks,
yeah,
are we off the net? Is that what's happened here?
No, I'm off.
No, it's just slow and
I'm off the net. I can't save anything. I can't do anything. Okay.
Your light's not blinking.
My light's not blinking. Wonder why that would be.
Hey, what's
it? Okay, we're gonna go to Bob from Ontario, Canada. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
How are you guys today?
Peachy. How are you?
Good. Good. Listen, fellas, I got a computer. I've had it for about 6 months, and I've updated the graphics card to a video capture.
Yeah?
And ever since I've done that, I've had a problem. My system, it doesn't matter what I'm using, like what I'm using it for, all of a sudden it'll just crash.
Yeah.
And Microsoft, is that like an online crashes that Microsoft offers?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's saying that it's a device driver.
Almost always, any crash has a device driver messed up somewhere.
Okay.
What OS was it again?
Pardon?
What OS?
XP.
Okay.
One of the tricks with XP is you have to make sure that all of your devices and all of the drivers are XP compliant.
Okay.
One of the problems that people run into is that if you upgrade to XP, your old 98 drivers might still be loaded, or if you've got an older, say, sound card and you're building an XP box, it might only have 98 drivers and not have the XP driver in it.
Okay. This come initially with XP on it.
Have you added any
hardware?
Yeah,
but when you installed the video capture card,
yes,
did it come with XP-specific drivers, or did they just say Windows drivers?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Thank you.
Very good question.
Because you might have to go up to the site and get back your old card and but download the drivers and put them in a separate folder.
Yeah, I think one of the things you're going to want to do is definitely go and check the website to see if they're updated drivers specifically for XP. Because
I did that. I have done that.
And you installed those?
Yes.
Did you uninstall the other drivers first?
I did.
Okay, thanks for calling. you've gone to check to see if there are updates, and you've gone to talk to who makes this video capture board?
ATI.
Oh,
that's one of the best.
Yeah.
Have you looked to see if there's an IRQ conflict?
No, I haven't done that.
You know what you might want to do though is do a search, and what you'd want to put in the search. Or go to the ATI's website,
uh-huh.
Look in FAQs, or the message board around there. See if anybody else is having this same issue. Sometimes, even though they put out the drivers, and this is the biggest balancing act, trying to get all these cards to work with all these different motherboards and all these other cards, it's quite a feat for them to, you know, have them work 100%.
Right.
So you might find, if go back to your old video card, for the time being, but go up to the message boards or even do a search on Google for that particular card, and you can just say causes crashes and see if you can get into some of the other message boards to see if they're experiencing the same thing. They might have a workaround or a fix for that.
Okay.
But first, I would look to see if you're having an IRQ conflict.
Okay.
If you go to the Start button and go to Control Panel and open System, go to the Hardware tab and select Device Manager, you'll see a list of all your devices.
Mm-hmm.
Look to see if there's a red icon next to any one of the... You may have to open them up because they're all closed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get the little plus signs.
Right.
Look to see if you've got any IRQ conflicts. Those have to be resolved first before you can move on. If you've got two devices trying to talk to the same IRQ, that could do it.
But XP is very good about handling it.
Usually it is, but just in case it's not...
The other thing, though...
It may be that his ATI device driver is XP, but some other device driver is still an old one,
and
therefore
is not. What about the video capture program that you're capturing video with?
Yeah. Bob, the other thing, is it the original video that came with this, is that onboard video, or was it an actual card that you replaced?
Actual card.
Okay. And you did a total uninstall of that software?
Yep.
So that driver is gone.
That's correct.
Hopefully.
I would start with the IRQs and then go and that's where I would start.
Yep.
Okay.
Let us know what happens.
Very good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We're gonna take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Jesse Graff, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Bob Matthews.
Boston's not disappearing. They got the second best record in the league.
Weeknights, 6 till 8 on the Sports Leader.
It's their misfortune to be in the American League East.
News Radio 1180 WHAM. Mexico, the Caribbean, a tropical vacation can be yours.
Take a vacation.
Come on, vacation!
Every weekday, listen to Wham for the cue to call.
I'm going to have a good time.
Be the 25th nationwide caller to 1-866-525-WINS. That's 1-866-525-WINS. And win a trip.
Oh, man, it is a blazer out there.
It's just that easy. Good luck from News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Ripken, Baylor, Murray, Musial, Rich. That ball is gone. Don't miss the inaugural season of the Rochester Red Wings affiliation with the AL Central champion Minnesota Twins. Because you never know when the next Cal Ripken Jr., Don Baylor, Eddie Murray, Stan Musial, or Bobby Gritch is going to come to the plate. Red Wings baseball history on deck.
Take me out, take me out.
The Red Wings battle the Norfolk Tides, the Mets AAA affiliate, this weekend. Friday is Homer Hanky Night with a huge post-game fireworks show. Saturday is Steve Finley Bobblehead Night. Sunday afternoon, it's Team Photo Day and Turn Back the Clock Day, when hot dogs and Cokes are only a dollar each. Kids will get a free pass to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Stick around after the game for an autograph session with the team, and kids can run the bases with spikes. Tickets start as low as $5.50. For tickets, call 423-WING. Red Wings baseball, history on deck.
For all your computer needs, call Green Shield Computer Services toll-free at 1-800-544-9580. Located in or at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just south of Route 104, Green Shield is a full-service computer firm that's been helping individuals and businesses since 1984. They'll build, install, maintain, and network both your home and work computers. Green Shield is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 till 4. So, yeah, call them right now. That's right now at 1-800-544-9580. Green Shield can also provide your website development, hosting, email, and domain name registration. And Green Shield is an approved Corral business education, government, and legal partner. Call them right now, toll free at 1-800-544-9580. That's 1-800-544-9580. Or you can send them an email to computers@greenshield.net. Remember the name, Green Shield Computer Services, part of the Green Shield Group, established in 1967.
So, what are you thinking about?
You know.
Should I play a little something to get us in the mood?
That sounds nice.
Sally Gadula meant
Walt Disney World, cool!
This is going to be great.
There's nothing more magical than a Walt Disney World vacation, especially when you've won it from Visa. Every time you use your Visa card in May and June, you're automatically entered for a chance to win admission to an exclusive after-hours Magic Kingdom party. You and seven guests will join other winners and their guests for a night featuring live shows, some of your favorite Disney characters, fireworks, and private access to the best rides in the park. All part of an amazing four-day Walt Disney World vacation, only from Visa.
Visa, it's everywhere you want to be.
Who knows? You could be the next person to win a Walt Disney World vacation. Use your Visa card to shop at Bed Bath & Beyond, beyond any store of its kind.
No purchase or obligation necessary to enter to win, void or prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older as of 5103 and 63003. For complete official rules, including details on non-purchase entries, call 1-800-993-0621.
Got hot, itchy skin? Well, when you work steel beams 30 stories up, you're an expert on hot, itchy skin. Listen to what iron worker Alan says about Gold Bond Body Powder.
This job makes my skin hot and itchy. But Gold Bond Powder is specially medicated to keep skin cool, dry, and itch-free.
Unlike ordinary powders, Triple Action Gold Bond is medicated to stop itch, absorb moisture, and keep skin cool and refreshed.
Gold Bond works, I work.
Gold Bond Medicated Body Powder. The powder to be your best. Use as directed.
John Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Yes, it's true, we are back. And it is true that I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Jesse Gray.
Going back to Lolly's whole sheep thing from a couple weeks ago, if you have never been in the forums, you have no idea what we're talking about, but there have been several people talking about sheep and fishnet stockings and Jack Daniels.
We're waiting for Moody to post that somehow. Yeah.
No, well, for the sound bite, for the sound clips, yes. For those of you who haven't found the sound clips, several people have left an opinion saying they couldn't find the sound clips. Learn to scroll down. Use the scroll, Luke. We've taught several people that over the years, and now we're going to have to teach you. We have Richard from Rochester who wants a shot at the trivia. Remember, the question is, what was the name of Microsoft's terminal emulator program introduced in 1987? And the fabulous prize this week is two tickets to any movie at the Regal Theater. Richard from Rochester, what's your answer?
Good afternoon, first of all.
Hi.
I just want to say you guys are tremendous.
Thank you.
Nick and Dave and Steve, especially Nick, because Nick tends to think the way I do all the time.
Oh, you need some professional help,
then.
Oh,
I know that.
I'm sorry, but you definitely need it immediately.
You aren't looking for Kermit, are you?
No, I'm not.
Damn
but
it.
But thank
Excuse
you.
Me.
That's a good one.
It's not easy being green, but that's not the answer.
Okay.
Thank you, Richard.
Thanks a lot.
We've had quite a number of people who didn't have the right answer. There are a lot of wrong answers to this particular trivia question. Once more, the trivia question is, what was the name of Microsoft's terminal emulator program introduced in 1987? Now, here's a good question. What happens if nobody gets it? Do I tell them at the end of the week, or do we hold it over till next week?
No, give the answer, because it'll give them a whole week to look up the answer.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Our next caller is Walter, all the way from Ontario, Canada. Welcome, Walter. What's your question?
Hi, I live in Calgary, Alberta. I drive an 18-wheeler all over North America. I have a laptop with me, and I've been using a modem where I have to plug in at a truck stop and that type of thing.
Yeah.
I'm told I should get an air card or a satellite system because I need to use my laptop without having to plug into a landline.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me out? Because I'm not familiar with computers. And I definitely need some advice.
They just changed their name again. What is it? Direct Way is the...
I'm sorry?
Direct Way.
Direct Way?
Yeah, is the satellite...
Okay. I'm going to hang up and I'm going to pick you up on the radio because I can hear you better if you don't mind.
No problem.
Not a problem. It's called Walter from Ontario, Canada. Actually, from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
That's cool.
I went to high school with a guy from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Oh, it'll come to me after the show. But Walter, it's called Direct Way.
Direct Way. It's used to be part of Direct TV, which was the satellite TV service.
And we'll put a link on our website.
They got bought by Hughes, and it was called, well, then it was called DirectPC. They got bought by Hughes, and now it's DirectWay.
But I don't think there's a T. I think it's DirectWay, isn't it?
Maybe that's why I can't find it at the moment.
I think there's no T on Direct.
Yeah, we'll find it.
So there's no T on DirectPC.
Right.
Right. So that it's a satellite-based internet service. We had a customer come in a couple of weeks ago that uses it on his motorhome.
There you go.
You're supposed to stop and aim the antenna at the satellite, but to get the internet to work right.
Right.
But he says he's had fairly good luck using it while he was actually moving.
Walter, of course, doesn't want to really use his laptop while he's driving.
Right.
Well, he does want to pull over.
Be on the road. But
you bring the maps up in the cab of your truck
true.
To tell you where to go next.
But
that's
I mean,
true.
To be on the road and even pulling over at a throughway stop or something like that, be able to connect is probably what he wants to be
One
able
of
to
the
do.
Problems is that it isn't that cheap. It's several hundred dollars for the installation and setup equipment, and then about let me see if I can find the right price. It's about $50 to $100 a month for service.
Yeah, I suspect it would not
the
be
other
cheap.
Thing he might want to do, and we didn't get a chance to ask him, is how old the laptop is. Again, like we were talking about before, is to get a modem that'll work with his cell phone and that laptop, if he's depending on if he's got unlimited minutes. And in what area he's in, he'd be able to use his cell phone to go through the internet with his laptop and get to the internet that way.
Okay.
So hopefully that'll work. If you get a chance, give us a call again next week and let us know how you made out.
I love the idea that Walter's from Calgary, Alberta, moved, got to Ontario, heard us.
Yeah, this is great.
And I'm loving this. This is great. We still have this trivia question out there, and I believe Bob from Rush, New York, may have an answer for the trivia question. What was the name of Microsoft's terminal emulator program introduced in 1987? Bob?
How about Bob?
Oh, that's an excellent choice, except that Bob was an operating system front end for Windows.
Yeah. I couldn't remember what it was.
Yep, but that's a great choice, Bob.
It had really great security. If you typed the wrong password a couple of times, it told you what the right password was.
Yeah, let you on in.
Oh, it seems you've forgotten your password. Here it is.
Or you could just say cancel and it would still let you.
Yep.
But thanks anyway, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. We're still trying to get an answer to the trivia question. What was the name of Microsoft's terminal emulator program introduced in 1987? I might save this one over because if they can't find it by now, they're not going to find it by next week. Our next caller is Peter from Brockport. Welcome, Peter. What's your question?
Hey, guys. I am having problems with a virtual driver that my NIC card uses. It's the NDIS VXD driver.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird problem. I'm running Windows 98, and what happens is whenever that driver loads, the mouse hesitates every couple of seconds. It's just a quick pause every couple of seconds. If I do a safe start where I can say yes or no to each driver loading, and if I say no to the NDIS driver, it works fine.
Who makes your card?
Winbond.
No. Wait a minute. Have you gone in, virtual driver, Nick, and it's giving you an error on boot up, so you don't even get into Windows and it says you got to press
No. It's not giving me any errors whatsoever.
Okay.
But if I manually do a safe start where I can confirm the loading of each driver, that's how I narrowed it down to know what the problem was.
Right. If he doesn't load that driver, everything works great. If he does, the mouse hesitates.
Right.
In your network setup, if you go into control panel and under networking, how are you logging on? Family logon, network logon?
Well, it's normally it's just the let me see here, Windows logon.
Okay.
It almost sounds like the network card and the mouse are on the same interrupt. It's an interrupt problem. So when the network card is trying to pass data, your mouse won't work.
Have you tried taking the network card out, uninstall it, reboot the machine with just the mouse on it? And then also make sure, since this is a Windows 98 machine, that you've got the plug-and-play set up in the BIOS. Is that the OS is set up for plug-and-play.
Do you have a serial mouse or a bus mouse?
I have a OS 2.
PS2 mouse.
Yeah. PS2, thank you.
Yeah. Then I make sure plug and play is turned on in the BIOS, take the network card out, uninstall it, reboot the machine with just the mouse on it, let it find its port, shut the machine back down. Maybe if you get cards too close, that can also cause issues. Try a different slot for the network card.
Okay.
Reboot.
Okay.
That'll force it to go to another IRQ.
I like it.
And give that a shot.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Jesse Graff, me, Nick Francesco, all of you. Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Hi, I'm George Zimmer. At Men's Warehouse, we know that when you're choosing a gift for Dad, the little things can make all the difference.
Hey, George, this is Jeff. I let my wife know about the Men's Warehouse gift cards. When they asked about gift suggestions, well, my 8-year-old daughter, Alexis, decided she wanted to get in on the action, so she had a pretty small budget, but while she was in the store with my wife, she asked the sales clerk if she could buy a gift card in the amount of $1. And the woman said yes and gave her the card. So I got several Men's Warehouse cards, but it was my daughter's $1 card that meant the most to me.
Hi, this is Alexis. My dad got a new suit and he looks great.
Thanks, Alexis. Sounds like the best gifts do come in small packages. I'm George Zimmer, founder and CEO of Men's Warehouse. You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it.
Father's Day is June 15th. Call 1-800-776-SUIT.
The Greater Rochester International Airport has done it again. Bringing great on-airport parking deals to Rochester's summer travelers.
We're reducing the already low price of our shuttle lot. For a limited time only, travelers who park for a week in the shuttle lot will get 2 days of parking free.
These summer shuttle savings can't be matched. 2 days of free parking, speedy ride from your car to the terminal in our very own Rochester Rocket.
Great prices, proximity, and service. The Greater Rochester International Airport Summer Shuttle Savings is one more great reason why parking on airport is your best option.
For more information on great parking savings or special events such as our Centennial of Flight free monthly movie series, visit our user-friendly website at www.rocairport.com.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
At John Deere, we know what takes your breath away. No, it's not a two-hour tug-of-war with a tree stump. It's the umpteenth trip you and your wheelbarrow make to and from the mulch pile. Well, say sayonara to wasted weekends. Behold the John Deere Gator utility vehicle. With its heavy-duty cargo box made of 16-gauge steel, you can now load and haul more topsoil, more boulders, more paving bricks, even more pachysandras, all at an 18-mile-per-hour clip. Try that with Mr. Wheelbarrow. And for a limited time, you can get behind the wheel of a John Deere Gator and save up to $2,000. We'll even throw in special financing offers. Saving time, saving money, saving your hamstrings. There's nothing like it, and nothing runs like a deer. Call 1-888-MO-PROS to find your nearest dealer.
Authorized July 7, 2003. Financing offers subject to qualified credit on a revolving plan. For personal use only, see dealer for details.
This portion of Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Jesse Graff.
And we just have a few minutes left in the show to answer the trivia question. What was the name of Microsoft's terminal emulator program introduced in 1987? We have Jeff on the line from Rochester. You want to take a shot at that trivia, Jeff?
Yes, guys. Great show. Great show.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. I'm going to take a shot and say, was it M-Term?
No. Good choice, though. M-Term was a great terminal program, but that's not the one. What's your question?
No, I don't have one.
Oh, just a trivia
thing. A trivia shot.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Thanks. Our next caller, Tom from Penfield. Tom, you want to take a shot at that trivia?
No, I don't.
Okay.
All the ones I know were already guessed.
Oh, okay.
I have kind of an annoyance issue here. I'm running Windows 98, and every time I click on Windows Explorer, which is about every 5 minutes, my dial-up connection comes up, the pop-up box, and I have to keep closing it down every time I click on there.
Not Internet Explorer, the Windows Explorer.
Right, right. When I'm looking for files or moving stuff around, yeah.
What antivirus software do you have? Is it up to date?
Is it up to date? It's been updated at least a couple of times this year.
No.
A couple of times
a week.
Up to date
would be exactly a couple of times this week.
Okay, well, it's Command Antivirus. But this has been happening before even the virus thing was updated.
Let me suggest that you go download and run Stinger.
Okay.
You'll find a link on our website, but it's at vil.nai.com/vil/Stinger with a capital S.
And you also want to run Adware because this could also be spyware.
Right. Yeah, the point is something is trying to dial out that you don't want to dial out, and you need to, and then immediately update your antivirus immediately.
Okay. Great.
Okie doke.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you the answer to the trivia question because I don't think anybody's going to get this. Too bad. I suppose we could go for weeks with this one. But the question, what was the name of Microsoft's terminal emulator program introduced in 1987? It was called Microsoft Access. That's right. You know it today as a database management program. Well, a data program. But it was originally the name of Microsoft's terminal emulation program. It was, as we call it, crap. But that was the name of the program, and there you go. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Jesse Graff. I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back here next Saturday. Check the website and the forums and everything else. And we'll see you next Saturday on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Saturday night, top prospects of the New York Mets are at Frontier to meet the Red Wings, Norfolk and Rochester, Saturday at 6:50 on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Now, more than ever, you need the news leader. 50,000 watt 1180 WHAM Rochester, a clear channel radio station.
CBS News, I'm Susan Monday. A North Carolina police officer was in the right place at the right time, and now one of the FBI's most wanted is in custody. CBS News Justice Department reporter Stephanie Lambadakis is live and describes the capture of fugitive bombing suspect Eric Rudolph.
The man who eluded a massive dragnet for more than 5 years was caught by a 21-year-old rookie cop in Andrews, North Carolina. He was just doing his job on night patrol. After giving a false name, Rudolph, according to authorities, later acknowledged his real identity, which was confirmed by fingerprints run through the FBI computers. He was described as thinner but healthy and still trying to avoid detection. He was carrying a flashlight while picking through a dumpster in the dark. Reporting live, Stephanie Lambadakis, CBS News.
An FBI special agent, Chris Swecker, says Rudolph's capture all came down to perseverance.
5 years is a long time, and a lot of people thought that, you know, that we had given up. And in fact, everybody here had spent a lot of times behind the scene still looking for him.
And he's been under the nose of lawmen for some time. CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart says Rudolph's capture was simply a lucky break.
The embarrassing thing for the FBI has always been that they put thousands of people into this manhunt and that never came close to catching him. He lived apparently in caves in the area, caves that he possibly had lived in earlier in his life when he was well known as a marijuana grower in that region. It's not clear if he stayed there or in the immediate region. He came out only once that they know of, and that was to gather supplies. It appears now that he may have been foraging for other food stuff in the area for quite some time.
And in Birmingham, where Rudolph...